Well, we're going to be tonight in, I'm going to mix some of the gospel references together, but I'm going to read out of Mark chapter 14 to set the stage for the message tonight. I want to talk to you about the smell of oil and the sound of coins. The smell of oil and the sound of coins. Now, you'll understand what that title's all about in just a little bit. But during this week that many call Holy Week, you tend to study and visit what Jesus did on certain days, you know, that begins with the singing Hosanna, praising Hosanna to the Son of David as he rides in on a donkey, Palm Sunday, so forth. And then he goes to Bethany, and he spends basically the rest of the week there, apparently going in and out of Jerusalem and back to Bethany. And we see here that when we get to the middle of the week, there's two events that happen. Three of the gospel writers talk about the woman who broke the flask of oil, the alabaster box, at the feet of Jesus. And then that's followed by Judas conspiring with religious leaders to betray Jesus. And so that's where this title comes from, the story of a woman, because it's really two people at two different places in life, two people that are choosing two different paths in life, two people who are responding in totally different ways to who Jesus is. One a woman, the other a man, Mary of Bethany, and Judas Iscariot. Both used money to achieve an end. Mary, who John tells us it was Mary that washed Jesus' feet with her hair. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who's raised from the dead. Mary, the sister of Martha. You remember when Jesus visited her house and Martha was busy. You know, a woman's got a lot of work to do to feed folks, and she was busy, but Mary, she wouldn't leave her place at Jesus' feet. And then when Lazarus died, you know, Jesus raised him from the dead. Now he's back at Bethany, and she breaks open this flask of oil, this container of oil, perfume. And when the disciples who get upset about this, particularly their treasurer, Judas Iscariot, could this not have been sold for 300 denarii? Well, a denarii in that time would have been a day's wages, like a year's worth, almost a year's worth of wages. So it's a very extravagant, very expensive gift when she basically poured it out on Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her hair. Judas Iscariot, in contrast, yes, he used money to achieve an end. He negotiated, bartered with religious leaders who were trying to come up with a plan to kill Jesus. They needed to get him away from the crowd because he was so popular. Who knows what might happen if they tried to seize him in the middle of one of his, what we would call, miracle services. One of those times when people were being fed right out of the fountain of life himself. So Judas came to them, brokered a deal, and it's the scripture doesn't say this specifically, but when you kind of connect the dots, when he sees Jesus kind of rebuffing them for what this woman is doing, and one of the gospel writers tells us that Judas, he kept the purse, but he also took money out for himself out of the purse. And this was a very upsetting event. The next thing he does is he goes and talks to these religious leaders, and for 30 pieces of silver, agrees to deliver Jesus into their hands. He knew where he would go and be at night when he got ready to start resting and so forth. And so he eventually leads them there. And many of you may know that story. But two different people, and they both used money to achieve their ends. The love of God moved upon one as she worshiped at his feet. The greed for money moved another. The one, I believe, was filled with adoration and worship. And the Bible says that when Judas got up to go do this, Satan literally entered into him. He became possessed by the devil himself to do this dastardly deed. See the contrast between these two events. One worshiped at the foot of the cross. I believe that Mary was in that group of women at the foot of the cross. The other went out and hung himself on a tree. Major contrast. In one event, the room is filled with the smell of fragrant oil. At the other, you can hear when Judas finds out what's happening, he goes and he throws those 30 pieces of silver back in front of those religious leaders, went out and hung himself. You can, as it were, hear that the sound of those coins that condemned him. So, Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head, but there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. Verse 6, "But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish you may do them good, but me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.'" Verse 10, "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him." We're remembering her here tonight. Word of God's true. We're remembering her here tonight. And when you hear her name, you associate this event with her, how she honored Jesus. And then when you hear the name Judas Iscariot, he's the betrayer. Jesus said, and I have the three gospel accounts here before me, Jesus said it had been better if he had never been born. Earlier he had said, "You know, I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil." It wasn't like Jesus was shocked to learn this. But Judas, though he made his own choices, he chose to do this. Though he opened himself up to the extent that Satan could literally possess him, it was on him, his choices. But none of it surprised God. God used it to orchestrate the events that would lead to Jesus offering himself for us on the cross. So, I want us to consider a couple of things when we, as we go back through some of these verses tonight. And the first thing I want you to notice is that where Jesus is being honored, the enemy's always going to plan and plot by whatever means possible to stop that from happening. He doesn't want the name of Jesus proclaimed over Florence, Alabama. Now, he doesn't mind Jesus being redefined, because that's not Jesus. You may put Jesus' name on on the concept of a person, but you better be sure that person has the character of the Jesus we read about in the Bible. So don't be confused in culture today when people start presenting a Jesus that's different than the Jesus of the Bible. Just ignore that and stick with the one that's in the book. He's the real one. Pastor Doc preached about the real Jesus. Amen? The real one. That's the one we want to serve. So, but there's always going to be plans of the enemy to shut down the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. That verse we shared tonight, that we recited, the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the power of God to salvation. There's the very reason the enemy wants to shut it down. Because he's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's always wanted the worship of the people in the world. He's always has struck humanity from early on in the garden. But early in the garden, God made a promise. You know, concerning the serpent, it will bruise his heel, but the seed of this woman will crush your head. And he is the head crusher. He's the serpent head crusher. Have you ever seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ? That when he's in the garden praying, and it shows that scene with the snake that comes slithering through, and he lifts up his heel, and just, to me, that was such a powerful imagery portrayed in that movie, because it's exactly what God had promised, exactly what God had prophesied, and exactly what happened when he got up out of that garden, was arrested, went to the cross, and bore your sins and my sins in his body on the tree. He broke the power of Satan off of humanity. He opened up the door to heaven for lost humanity so that we could be restored as sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is the power of the gospel. And the same religious spirit, the same demonic spirits that operated in that day, that we read about early in Mark 14 and Matthew 26, 6 and following, John 12, 1 and following, that same spirit is still in the world today. Now, they can't crucify Jesus afresh. Why? You know why? For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. I mean, it's a finished work. It's not a, well, we're in the top of the eighth inning, one more inning, and it's over. No, it is a finished work. It's not like, well, he did almost everything necessary, but if you'll try your best, if you'll pedal harder, if you'll do good long enough, then it'll fill it on up and you can get in. No, it's a finished work. For we are saved by grace, the grace of God. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's work in us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we're saved to do good works. We don't do good works to be saved. We're saved to do good works. We're saved to do good works. The faith that say we're saved by placing our faith in what Jesus did. In other words, we're saying yes to the offer of him to save us. That's what faith does for us. We're agreeing with God that when Jesus died on the cross, he bore our sins. We're agreeing with God's amen to the crucifixion, which is the resurrection. We're agreeing, believe in our hearts, God, you did raise him from the dead. So he did pay the price. You did accept it. It is available. Jesus, save me. You're not saving yourself when you do that. You're casting yourself upon the Savior who saves you. So, there's always going to be animosity and enmity working against the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, there's no one beyond the reach of the gospel. It's the power of Jesus Christ operative in the human heart to everyone who believes. It does not matter what nation you're from, what station in life you're from, what position you may hold. If you know Jesus, you've confessed him as Lord, you are a child of God Most High. And because of that, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Isn't it interesting how much warfare the enemy wages against the proclamation of the gospel and the teaching that God manifests His power in the earth? It's amazing to me that even the church sometimes is complicit in agreement that we should not expect God to manifest His power. He said, light be, and the galaxies came into being. That's power. We know little of power compared to the power He possesses. But yet, He's our daddy. Woo! Amen? I mean, He's our Father. He's our Father. So we see that early on in these verses. And then when we get to this scene where He's in Bethany, you know whose house He's at? The house of Simon the leper. Simon was one of those lepers he cleansed. What a beautiful sight. I mean, you're talking about a meal you'd like to leverage yourself in on? To be sit down at the table? Number one, numero uno, there is Jesus Christ Himself. And then, while over there, there's old Lazarus. He was 4 days dead. And God raised him from the dead. And who invited everybody? Well, there's Simon. Anytime he was walking down the road for a long time, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. They had to do that. It was the law. Why? So that they wouldn't give leprosy to someone else. Talking about being an outcast, that's like saying, don't have anything to do with me. Don't come talk to me. You can't hang around me. What a sentence to be upon your life to have been a leper. But one day, Jesus, back to that power God thing, be cleansed. Now he's cooking spaghetti and serving pizza and inviting Jesus. Well, they wouldn't have had those things back then. It might have been some fish and chips or something like that. I don't know. But there they are at Simon's house. I wonder, what if we just decided, hey, five or six of us, let's get together for a meal and share our salvation stories. Or share miracles we've experienced, things we've seen God do. Let's just talk it up. Stir up one another. Fan into flame one another. Encourage one another. You have this meeting here a few days before Jesus is going to be nailed to the cross. And He's hanging out with Simon the leper. And here at Bethany, I'm pretty sure Lazarus was there. Mary, Martha, the gang, you know, hung out with Jesus. How beautiful to see this community they experience. And then Mary here. And I believe that, we have the account where the woman washes Jesus' feet with His hair. But I believe all that's also involved here with Mary, because it's such a beautiful picture. His whole body was prepared because He said, I'm being prepared for my burial. Poured it on His head, went down His body. A little later, He'd be washing His disciples' feet. But I believe first, Mary was washing His feet, laying her glory at His feet, because a woman's hair is her glory, the Scripture says. Laying her glory at Jesus' feet. Pouring that costly oil, a year's wages. But another thing we see happening, everyone in the room, just like in the room here, there's none of us in the room tonight that's got it all together. And I'm using all in the ultimate sense. I mean, am I off here? Is there someone here that you don't need any tweaks? You don't need any, God doesn't need to do any more tweaking. You got it. All right, I mean, anybody here like two thumbs up? God's through with me. Bump over Jesus. You don't have to bump Him over. You're already seated with Him. You see, there's a sense in which we can all say, well, yeah, I may need some tweaks to be completely like Him, but I'm already complete in Him. I'm already positioned with Him. And in that sense, we can all say, I'm made perfect in Christ. Isn't that good to know? Especially on those days when you mess up. You know, well, who I really am, I'm complete in Christ. I'm perfect in Christ. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I think we ought to say that out loud together. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now when that old devil comes along and tries to condemn you, child of God, you just declare who you are. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. That's where our confidence... Listen, for us to be able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for us to be not only courageous but confident, you know how where that really comes? From knowing who you are in Him. Because it's never based on our performance. Sometimes we try to trick ourselves. Well, I've gone all week and I've got victory over that thing that always trips me up and I'm doing pretty good. But listen, it's never about performance. It's about our position in Christ. God views us through the righteousness of His Son. And that still staggers my imagination. Because everything in the natural me, I mean to say, when the Lord looks at me, He sees Jesus. I said, what kind of spectacles does He use? You know, but that is a theological truth. That's an eternal truth. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No matter who's in the room, if they're children of God, and we're not perfect, and we know they're not, and we know one of them's a devil himself. You know, referred to Jesus, I chose one of you, and he's a devil, and that became true on this night when Satan entered into Judas. Because listen to what they said. There were some there who were indignant among themselves. They had some onlookers too. Jesus would always attract a crowd. But then there will always be people on the fringe that were there with ulterior motives. And sometimes people there that on the team that have wrong ideas and motives. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Have you ever had someone to criticize you for the way you worship? I'm just talking about maybe if you're a person that extravagantly worships. You see, we got so much territory we can explore scripturally. Lift our hands, clap our hands, give a shout, spin like a top, leap up and down like you're on a pogo stick, dance before the Lord. All of this is in Scripture. Invitations to us. And yet, sometimes there are people that may criticize you sharply. Now, I don't want to speak wrongly ill of anyone, because a lot of times it's just because they have been taught wrongly. Because some people are taught that, you know, you shouldn't do anything emotionally or that might be deemed to call attention to yourself. And we all realize that sometimes people can do things just to call attention to themselves. You know, we understand there's always, you're going to have a mixture. But here, she's just, for her, all that matters in this moment, and this is true of us when we're worshiping truly, is just that you want Jesus to know how much you love Him. And you want to honor Him. You want to adore Him. She is pouring out her love on Jesus. And she has given this extravagant gift. And yet she is criticized sharply by people who were indignant. In other words, that's not dignified. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes the Lord can move in ways that looks very undignified. And sometimes when God is actually bringing things into the right order, it may even look like disorder. Someone who walks down the aisle, gives their life to Christ, becomes broken and starts weeping uncontrollably. My goodness, I never. No, you probably haven't. But just becoming broken before the Lord. Or gets a breakthrough. I was in Missouri weekend before last. Last night, service was over. Amen had been said. And then more people came up wanting prayer. We'd had a long time of just praying for people. A lady came up. She had been in two automobile accidents. And as a result, for several years, she had, she said her nerve, it was like nerve pain, beginning with the shoulders, up her neck and the sides of her face, just shooting pains constantly. And so, it was amazing just to pray with her and see Jesus' love on this woman. Because in just a few moments, I mean, just a brief prayer, She started smiling, her eyes got big, and her pain was gone. She was just like, what? You know, it's gone. Her husband was watching this. He comes over. He said, I've got trouble with my shoulder. I can't lift my arm but this high. Prayed a brief prayer. And I said, try to move it. Oh, my goodness. The Lord just healed him. They had a son, same family, three people in the same family. It was just an amazing thing. A son, he came up and he said, I injured my knee, and I have a lot of pain in this knee. In Jesus' name, be healed. Now move it. It was gone. And God, it's just like God said, you know what? I'm going to love on this family tonight. Now, I prayed for other people. That didn't happen. But I didn't go home, leave that service. I was excited about what God did do. I want to pray for the other people, and hopefully they will get, you know, sometimes you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and it may take some time, but you always should believe that you receive something when you receive prayer. Let that seed get inside of you. Let it take root and cultivate. But God just loved on that family, and it was just beautiful. Beautiful. But their response was just amazed that God would do that for them. And so Jesus is in the room and something beautiful and amazing is happening. But there's some people don't have a clue. They're just not getting it. And we need to be careful not to be finger pointers and just pray. Most of us, at one time or another, probably have been among the ones that just didn't get it. Right? I remember when I came into the Spirit-filled life, and it was just so radical, such a radical change for me. And I was wanting everybody to get it. I mean, which, why not? I mean, if you found something that wonderful, why wouldn't you want everybody to have it? But I was probably a little too much on the zeal side because I was wanting to help God out too much. You know, God has to do those things. We just need to be vessels and let Him do what He wants to through us. And I was like, well, Lord, I don't understand, you know. It was 2 years before Mickey came in to this fullness. You know, Lord, I don't understand. I mean, why would people not want this? And you know what the Lord did one day when I was having one of those sessions? He interrupted it. And he just asked me a question. For some reason, he often asked me questions. He said, now, how long have you been preaching before you got this? Well, I've been pastoring almost 15 years. And then it was just silent. I'm like, oh. In other words, look how patient I was with you. how long-suffering I was with you. So, anyway, she's being criticized, and then Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a good work for me. And that's just wonderful how he sticks up for her. As a matter of fact, sometime just begin marking your Bible when you find Jesus interacting with women in the New Testament. He did more to restore the worth and the value of women than anyone that's ever, number for anyone that's ever lived. Because what he did actually reestablished women, I believe, alongside men under God as was originally intended. And so he sticks up for her. And then in one of the accounts, we are told specifically, it says that verse 4 of John 12, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? John tells us who it was that said it. It was Judas. John called names. Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Oh, now we're getting to the motives. He smelled that costly perfume instead of saying, what a beautiful expression of worship. What an extravagant way to love on Jesus. How wonderful this is. What a beautiful smell. That's not what he's thinking. Man, if she'd just given that, if we just had the money that cost, man, I'd got a good chunk of that myself. John, apparently he wants us to know that Judas all along wasn't the best of guys. Did he have an opportunity to be? Absolutely. Could he have been one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb? I believe, I'm talking about whose names will be always regarded. I believe he could have. I believe he forfeited his opportunity. He opened up his heart to the enemy. He wanted to shortcut what God was doing unknowingly. So we see here, another thing that we see here that's really important when you follow the story all the way through is how God even uses what the devil does to accomplish what he desires. We always need to be careful not to give the devil too much due. He's a bad dude. He does have power. He does evil things. As I said earlier, he's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's behind every evil, wrong, sinful, wicked, iniquitous thing that's going on. He's behind it. And he works through people like Howdy Doody time. You remember where he'd have the strings on the puppet and make the puppet do what he wanted to do. There's some people that have so aligned with Satan, opened themselves up, that he's gained enough control that they just become his mouthpiece. They become his hands to the world. They become his feet to go places and do things. Because he's a copycat. Because you and I are Jesus' hands extended in the world. You and I, how beautiful are the feet of those who share the gospel of Christ. We are his hands and feet into this world. We are living epistles known and read by all men. So the devil's a copycat, and he wants to unleash evil in the world through people. He wants to fill people with demonic spirits to do his bidding, and yet we as the bride of Christ, we're filled with the Holy Spirit to do the bidding of our commander-in-chief. He's all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The devil's all about fleshly, sinful living. And you can study this in Galatians chapter 5, where we're told what the works of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit, what they are. So there's your two forces at work. But never think they are opposing forces. They are, but they're not opposites. There's no opposite for God. There's only one true and living God. There can be no equal for Him, even on the dark side. There's no Darth Vader that's the equivalent of Jesus Christ. This whole world is held together and sustained by Jesus. He's the eternal Logos. Everything is upheld by the word of His power. There is no equal to Him. There's no equal to our God, our triune God. He's without equal. As I quoted Isaiah 46, I think it was on Sunday, where He says, I am God and there is no other. There is none like Me. I will declare a thing and I will do it. You don't tell God that He can't do something. If you've got a belief system that somehow you think you can order God around, was He was. When everything material we see changes around us and is no more, He will be. He is the I Am, the God who continues to be who He has always been, the One who sees the end from the beginning. He is infinite. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful, simple way of putting it. And there is none like Him. And He's our Daddy. I just love that. Our Father. That's your Father. I know a lot of times it may sound like everything's a nail and I'm hitting it with a hammer, you know, when it comes to your identity. But you are His child. And this life, at its longest, as we know it, is just a vapor, James says. But you are an eternal being. I've noticed as I've moved past 40. Well, I have moved past 40. That, you know, my pythons aren't quite as big as they used to be. I mean, I can get my shirt on all right now. But in this world affected by sin, we age. You know, it's appointed unto us once to die. But he who believes in Him will never die. Oh, this body will cease, but we won't. And you know that upgrade that's coming for your body? It's a new version upgrade. You know, you've got version 101. It's not just 2.0. It's like way on up there. And we can't even fathom what we're going to be able to do. We get glimpses of it by looking at what Jesus was able to do after the resurrection. I better reel that back in. I'm going to save some of that for Sunday. Okay? But this is good. So, we want to be people that fill the atmosphere with the fragrance of oil. We don't want to be people that are just listening for the sound of coins. We want to be like Mary, not like Judas. We want to be like Mary, not like the indignant onlookers. We want to be like Mary. And really, let's just drill it on down. Mary just wanted to be like Jesus. And now, because of His death, that she prepared Him for His burial, we now have His righteousness. And we're being changed from glory to glory. As we grow and become more like Him, there's more glory that radiates from our life. And ultimately, our blessed hope is when He comes. What a glorious day that's going to be. going to be preceded by some fireworks. I'm just telling you. You know, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on about all that, there's going to be fireworks. But when He comes, John said, we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Paul hinted at it. Now we look through a glass darkly, got blurred up. Then, face to face. Prophecies, I love them, they'll cease. Tongues, still for today, but when He comes back, they'll cease. But love, love. Paul said, now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greater of these is love. We won't need faith when Jesus comes back. Our faith shall become sight. We won't need hope when He comes back, because He'll be here and He is our hope. But love, God is love. Love never fails. Oh Lord, help us to love like Mary loved. Help us to love like You love. And Lord, in those times when we get to feeling a little greedy, help us to remember these two people that we've talked about tonight. And Lord, when we're tempted to criticize someone's worship, help us to remember this story tonight. And Lord, when we try to categorize people, help us remember everyone in that house on that night. Help us to be like You, Jesus. By Your grace, through the power of Your Spirit, embracing Your promises, may we daily become more like You. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Could you spend a moment in prayer as we're 2 days away from Good Friday? And remember Jesus dying on the cross for us. Would you ask, Father, would you just submit yourself with a desire, Lord, I want to be more like You. I want to see people the way You see people. I want to treat people the way You treated people. I want to love the way You love. I want to forgive the way You forgave. I want to help people reach their potential the way You did. I want to help people have hope restored the way You did. Help me, Jesus. Could you just pray along those lines for a moment? I'm going to ask you to quietly stand and some of our prayer team members to come forward, staff, leaders, just some of you come and be here. And as we're standing, if you're here tonight, you need someone to pray with you. As we have some more, just some of you come help pray, please. Would you just come on up? If you need prayer tonight on this Wednesday night, in the middle of this holy week, the Lord is here to encourage you, to help you, to heal you, to save you, whatever the case may be. I invite you to come. We're going to worship a moment as you come. Are there others? Feel that tug on your heart by Holy Spirit? just come tonight. Have a need? Need some help? Jesus loves you. And we do too. Let's worship Him. You come. People here to meet with you. We'll have things on the screens for you to read, scriptures for you to meditate on, some music playing. We're going to have a come and go communion. We'll have people that will serve you the cup and the bread. And we just want to honor the Lord on this Good Friday and worship Him in this way. Now that's from 6 to 7:30 a.m. If you have a job and you're able to come at that time, that'd be great. But also, we'll be back at 11:30 to 1 p.m. in the middle of the day. That may be a better time for other of you. We'll be sending this out to the whole church. We announced it the last couple of Sundays. But let's come. You can come spend 5 minutes or an hour, however how long you want to. Just come and spend some time soaking in a precious atmosphere and then partaking of communion and remembering our showing forth His death until He comes. This coming Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we're going to have a special 8 a.m. service. It'll be abbreviated, 8 to 9:15. And some of you who may prefer not to be in such a crowded room, that'd be a good time for you to come. We won't have child care for the 8 o'clock service. It will also help us free up a little extra space for our 10 o'clock service because we hope to have a lot of people that need the Lord showing up on Sunday, as many do on Easter Sunday. Please be praying for those services that the power of the gospel would be received in the people's lives who don't know the Lord. Amen. Be praying about that this coming Sunday. So that's Friday and Sunday. In the morning we have our community Bible study. We're still going through the book of Acts, having a great time doing that. We meet at 10 o'clock in the dining hall. Any of you are welcome to come to that as well. We're here for about an hour, hour 10, hour 15 minutes. Are there any other, did I miss any announcements, Nick? Yes, if you have not been baptized, number one, you need to be. Number two, we'd love to do it. Number three, if we have some sign-ups, then next Wednesday night we'll be having, before this service begins, we'll have baptism out in the Commons area. Amen. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Would you repeat this after me? But let's do it in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I honor You tonight. Help me to be a Mary never a Judas. Help me to manifest your love this week. Quick to forgive, may I be. May the fruit of your Holy Spirit manifest in my life. And may I allow your gifts to manifest in my life. We declare your goodness, your blessings over this community in which we live. Draw the lost to you, Lord Jesus. And may I be a witness to those whom I meet. May I be led by your Spirit, full of your word, and sharing your love everywhere I go. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's go change the world. This altar area remains open if you need prayer. So good to see each and every one of you here tonight. God bless you.